Welcome to 216, the Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent. Got to make this intro short because I'm about to record the season finale of one of my all-time favorite people who I have been waiting to get on the show for quite some time. Really excited for this one, so I don't got much time. Today on the show, we have Homewrecker. Homewrecker is a dude that, if you've been in his stream, is just super likable, and you can see how he gets people to come hang out with him because he's just having a good time. It was a great opportunity to meet him and get a chance to chat and get to know him because I didn't really know him. I've been in his stream a few times and seen some of the silliness that can happen over there. But just getting a chance to get to know who he is and hearing his story and stuff was awesome. So excited to get to that interview. We'll get to Homewrecker shortly. The Tark admin vote is going to happen here in a couple of days. Don't think there's a ton of people applying. So if you have any inclination to run for admin for Tark, I would say get your application in because there's a decent chance you could become an admin over there. So get your applications in. I think they got to be in by Wednesday. Gosh, when is it? Got to get your application in before the 1st at 9 a.m. So go ahead and do that if you have any interest. And then Moogle Charm has a new tournament coming up. Not a new tournament, a new season of his tournament. He created the Survivors of Hyrule, which is a really cool, really unique tournament. Kind of based off of WWE in the way it's set up. So registration for the second season of Survivors of Hyrule begins the 29th, so today. There's going to be a 5 to 6 week Royal Rumble first stage where the final team representatives left standing will help their team move on to an old school Survivor Series tournament where 8 teams of 4 will battle it out over a series of 1v1 matches. It was really cool to see the first season of it. It's cool that they're expanding it and including anybody that wants to register. If you go to the Tark Announcements channel, there's a link to his Discord, and you can sign up and create a team. And yeah, it's highly recommended, super fun, and really looking forward to watching and checking out the Survivors of Hyrule 2024 tournament. I think they're capping it at 32, but if there's interest past 32, I think they're going to find a way to add people. I imagine there's going to be a decent turnout because Moogle knows what he's doing and he runs a really good tournament. So Survivors of Hyrule, check that one out. If you listened to the Go Mode podcast, you heard that Timp returned for their 150th episode. That was pretty cool. They talked a lot. I'd really recommend checking it out. If you don't listen to the Go Mode podcast, I'd be surprised if you're listening to this and don't listen to Go Mode. Listen to the 150th, and they kind of, I think in a very enjoyable way, talk about what the future looks like, and they're going to try to figure it out. Like, what does Go Mode look like in the future? And I don't know. It was really, really interesting. And if it's the end of Go Mode, huge shout outs to Timp and Dante and Herf over there. And if it evolves into something else, I think that would be good as well. So I think they're going to be off for a few weeks, just kind of figuring out what they want. I know they're going to take community feedback and then they'll reassess. So huge shout outs to Go Mode. Such a huge, huge boon for the community. Like, the podcast itself was great and has been great for driving community engagement and keeping people in the loop. And then everything that came out of Go Mode, the mentor tournament and the War for Hyrule and the bi-weekly seeds and just, creating a cool community over there, I think was pretty neat. So it'll be interesting to see where it all shakes out. The Discord server is not going anywhere, but we'll see what the podcast evolves into. I know Tim talked about maybe expanding past ALTTPR. Herf talked about, talking about other games other than ALTTPR. And maybe that's what it is. Who knows? But regardless of what happens, I just want to give a huge shout out to those guys over there and for all the work that they've done for the community. It's been awesome. All right. Homewrecker today, again, had a blast. Another Washingtonian. Always fans of getting to talk to people here in the Pacific Northwest. And just had a lot in common and found Homewrecker just really easy to talk to and, you know, someone I want to hang out with, honestly. So hopefully we can meet up and catch a baseball game over at T-Mobile Park. But regardless, I was glad to get this chance to chat with him, and I think you're going to enjoy it. So let's get to it. Here's Homewrecker. So I've caught a couple of your streams where you have been streaming Baldur's Gate 3, having been a huge fan and having still am a big fan of Baldur's Gate 3. It's been a lot of fun watching. I think you have a little bit of a different experience than I have because you're playing with friends, right?
Yeah. So I am playing with three friends that I made playing World of Warcraft. We are former guildies. So we've probably raided that game together for a solid 2.5-3 years and stopped a few months back. Like we couldn't keep the grind going anymore. But yeah, we decided to pick this up. I think it was right before Christmas we started playing. We're just doing once a week.
How's the experience?
It's great. So I have played the prior two Baldur's Gate games, 1 and 2. But I found out as I was playing this, it's been so long ago that I just did not remember a lot of things. So it's kind of like relearning the Baldur's Gate experience for me.
Sure.
Which has been a ton of fun. Now, I've played D&D for probably 10 years now.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm familiar with the a lot of the lore and just the mechanics and how the game is played. So sometimes as I've been going through Baldur's Gate, it's been like, wait, you're not supposed to be able to do this, but you can, right. I guess. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the big one was drinking potions as a bonus action. I think that was a pretty big change from what I've been told from regular D&D and Baldur's Gate on a very minute scale. Baldur's Gate does so much. It's such a huge game.
Yeah. It's I feel like it was 2 years ago when I remember it being announced, and then probably a year ago, something like that, when it came out as early release. And then I remember just wanting to wait a while to see it get fleshed out before actually getting into it. But yeah, no, a lot of the stuff that, like you mentioned, the potions thing, like that, for example, I have played some games where like DMs will homebrew a rule like right. that. So that yeah. wasn't totally different for sure. me, but like being able to double cast spells is like an action, a bonus action. That was the first thing I was like, wait, okay.
Yeah.
How sure. is this? How do they balance this? And then as I got in more into it and realized, oh, they cap you at level 12. You can't right. get above 6-level spells. Like, yeah. like, okay, this makes sense now. Yeah.
Yeah. I've played, this is embarrassing to say, I played 1,000 hours of Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh,
because I've just been super obsessed. I've never played a game like it before. I've never been into CRPGs. I played a little tiny bit of Dungeons and Dragons, but I never really found a group to play it with. And so this foray into Baldur's Gate was so eye-opening to me. And I beat it multiple times. I've been trying to do a solo honor mode run, and my run just ended a couple of days ago. Very close to the end. That was pretty heartbreaking. But yeah, I've put way too many hours into it.
Yeah, I can easily see that. Like I at this point, so I've got two different playthroughs going on right now. The one that you've seen on stream is the one that's farthest. We're pretty deep into Act 3.
Yeah.
And some of these fights, I was like, oh man, this must be terrible on honor mode.
Yeah. As you learn it, I think, like, again, I've put 1,000 hours is a lot. It's too much.
Oh yeah.
It's too much. But it's like, I've put so many hours in that I know like honor mode is actually pretty easy for me with the four person party, just because I've learned all the exploits and I know how to min max every, you know what I mean? Like it definitely is difficult, but with as much time and learning I've wasted, it's gotten pretty easy. But I remember the first time was really, really tough.
Yeah, it definitely, I got that feeling like as I was just getting back into it, like trying to, there are a couple things about the game that seriously bother me that are things I had to learn. Like, I feel like the pathing for just movement in the game is awful.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of places where you can't go where it feels like you should be able to go, right?
Or you want to go to a place and it's like, okay, this would be great if I just go in a straight line, but my character is going to go over there, jump over these boxes, take away some of my movement. And it's like, come on.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't walk through that fire that's right there. Mm-hmm. Things like that.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely worse when they take damage, when they don't need to take damage. That's super frustrating.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first started playing, like, this is a little spoilery, but when you go to the Night Song part of end of Act 2.
Yeah.
And I didn't kill Balthazar early on, so he was there. And there's like a million zombies that he raises up.
Oh.
I was like super overwhelmed as a new runner or a new player because it was just too many people and I was playing as a fighter. I was all new to it. It took me like a million attempts to try to beat that because I was just so green and didn't really realize, you know, I didn't understand AOE attacks and I didn't understand how to do multiple targets and all that kind of stuff. But the game is super fun.
Yeah. Like, so I don't know if you've ever heard of the games called Pillars of Eternity.
Yeah.
Okay. Similar style game, right? Mm-hmm. So I got into that when I first played the first Pillars of Eternity. Like, I got into situations like that where it's like, oh no, am I stuck? Like,
right.
Do I have to like try to revert back to a save that was several hours ago to fix this?
Yeah.
This isn't like other RPGs where I can just run out, go respec or whatever.
Right, right.
Sometimes you just get yourself in a situation that's like, I don't know if I can handle this.
Right. It was really tough. But I persevered and gosh, I love it. So whenever I see someone or watch someone that's into it as well, I get really excited. I get a geek out a little bit about the game because I've just, you know, after so much time into it, I've seen almost everything because there is so much to that game with the different paths you can take and the different characters that you can play. Are you guys playing original characters? I think you are, right?
Characters, yeah. 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 So that's the other thing. So I'm playing with two people that have several playthroughs of the game. And while we were doing this one, they finished their honor mode playthroughs. So they have a lot of knowledge of the game. We're seeing quite a bit, but not exactly just being told where to go. So we're finding a lot of it more or less organically. It's two of us that are new to this game and two of us who are not. So, but even then, I feel like we've seen so many things and also haven't scratched the surface at all. It's like it's when you true, get into man. Act There's 3, so it's much. Just like, oh my There's gosh.
So much. I'm telling you, like I've played it multiple times through solo and just regular runs. And each time I've seen new things, which is just like, how is that possible? Like when you get this many hours in, but it's true. Like there's just so many different interactions that can change everything. And it's just it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. And then we are not using any of the, we're doing like the companion quests, but obviously we're not using the companion characters. So I think of all the interactions that could be happening with you and them that we're missing as well. Like,
yeah, that's a ton
of stuff there. I'm going to have to replay just for that.
So. Yep. Yeah. That's a big one. So your streams, I catch them when I can, mostly as a lurker, but you don't just stream Link to the Past Randomizer. You're all over the place. And I think that's kind of what makes you enjoyable is your interactions with your chat and the variety of games that you play, right?
Yeah, it's really weird. Like I'm 100% like a COVID streamer. That's where I started. And for me, it was Ladder, Link to the Past Ladder is the reason I started streaming because I had to for that. And I've been doing this like 3-4 years now, something like that, I guess. And it's just kind of evolved from that point. It got to the point where, you know, I do like to do a thing where I'm talking a lot with people, even while I'm racing. I try to be interactive. And yeah, at some point, you know, conversations come up. Have you played this game? You talk about other things. And at one point I just decided, you know, let's do other stuff. I love Link to the Past Randomizer, but I don't want to burn out on it. And so, yeah, I will play a game that someone will suggest for me. Usually I try to do it once a week. And I've dipped into some other randomizers. I do Zelda 2 rando. I do a little bit of Mario Brothers 3 rando, but not that much.
Yeah.
And something that I started just before, I want to say Thanksgiving, Christmas, somewhere around there. I started building Legos on stream.
Oh, wow.
Which was something that surprisingly a lot of people were like, hey, you should do this. This would be fun to watch. So, and that's a great time to just sit down and just chat with people and
sure
put some Legos together.
No, that's great. That's awesome. Are you putting like sets together, like a pre-builds, like different stuff you buy, or are you coming up with stuff on your own?
Oh no, pre-build. So, okay. So my younger brother got me a present last year for my birthday. It was like this this Bowser statue.
Mm.
So that was the first thing that I did, and this thing was huge. It's like it's almost 10,000 pieces, something like that. So naturally, the next thing I thought was, well, let's do that NES console.
Oh, right.
So I got that and I did that. They have an Atari VCS console, the old Atari.
That's
so
awesome.
I got that.
That's awesome.
Man. And yeah, they usually take several days. So probably get a month out of that. Cause I do that once a week.
Sure.
Just to mix things up a bit.
No, that's awesome. Is it true I'm speaking to a fellow Washingtonian?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. There's not a lot of us. So I'm always excited to talk to anyone that's somewhere in the area.
That's surprising to me, actually, because like when I got into this, I figured there's got to be tons of people like around the Seattle area, right? But
yeah, I can't think of a lot. Like James FNX, I know, is in Seattle.
Lana Bean, if you know her,
she's Lana, up in Seattle. Kind of a newer runner. She's awesome. Mm-hmm. I know that she's in the area. I'm trying to think of. I know Celeste Summer is originally from Seattle, but they're out in Jersey now. I think TWW is in the area, but it's not a lot. There's not a lot. I'm sure I'm missing a couple of people, but yeah, you would think there would be more of us.
And I'm shocked there isn't, because every year I'm like, well, so I'm down in Vancouver.
Okay, so you're close to Oregon.
Yeah, yeah, like okay. Right on the border, basically. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I mean, it's not that far from Seattle. But every year I'm like, I wonder if I know people going to PAX West. And yeah, no, it's like most of the people that I know that are out here are in Cali. So
yeah, for real. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot more that I can think of in California. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up over here?
No, not at all. So I grew up in Montana, of all places.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been around. I've been around. Let's say that. So I'll give you the super short version. I won't make it too long. So I was born in Chicago.
Okay.
And in grade school, I moved out to Montana and lived there through college.
Where about in Montana?
Billings.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I've had a couple of friends in Billings.
Yeah. It's usually if people know a city there, it's that. Either right. Billings or Bozeman. Bozeman or Missoula.
Yeah.
Those are the three.
Some family in Bozeman too, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you're familiar with the area a bit, yeah.
Yeah, you were there for until how long?
Through college. I ended up going to college there. So through college, I went to college in Missoula.
Okay,
and nice. Then moved back to Chicago for a while, got married, ended up going to Florida, to Arizona, and now I'm here. Moved here, 2019?
Was it work, or what leads you all over the country like that?
So you marry someone that's in the Air Force. That's what you do.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah, 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 for sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Tacoma, where I grew up, is close to Fort Lewis. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you get real familiar with military families and the comings and goings of your friends, right? Because, well, especially growing up in the 80s and the 90s, for me, it was, there's no internet or anything. It's like, once they're gone, it's like, see ya. It was good to meet you for a little bit, but then, you know, you're gone. So, okay. So now you're in Vancouver.
Yes.
Since 2019. So not a long time. Okay.
No, not long at all.
Do you like Washington? Do you like where you're at?
You know what? So I ended up moving here under not the greatest of circumstances, but I know people that live in the area, which is kind of what drew me here. Okay. I have friends in Portland. I've got some friends in I don't remember. It's some city in the middle of Washington. It's like this tri-city area, and I can't remember any of them right now.
But the tri-cities are Kennewick and Pasco over there.
That's it, Kennewick, Pasco. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a friend out there. I've got some friends in Portland, and when I moved, it was one of those things where it's like, well, I can't stand living in the hot weather anymore. The desert is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I need something cooler. So sure. I came up here, and it's a little bit rainier than I would have liked, even though I expected it.
But yeah.
Still, I do enjoy it.
Nice. Nice. growing up in Montana, what was that like? Did you play a lot of video games?
Oh, okay. I just was telling this story not too long ago. So the first game that I ever remember playing was a game called Archon on the Commodore 64.
Okay.
So I don't remember when it came out. It was like this weird, like, combat chess game. I barely remember the game. But the short answer is yes. I grew up playing a lot of video games from basically as young as I can remember.
So a Commodore, you had a Commodore 64 early on then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know anybody with a Commodore 64. I'm looking at Archon. It is just chess, right? Or very chess-like almost.
Yes, it's very chess-like.
Have you gone back and played it since?
Well, I tried plugging in. I actually still have the Commodore. So
nice.
I tried setting up to use it. I think it was last summer, I want to say, and it is not working. So I have to figure out a way to get that fixed. And it was one of those, when I found it wasn't working, I said, that's for later me to figure out.
Yeah.
Later me hasn't come around yet to see if I can find someone who can work with that stuff. Cause that's beyond my area of expertise. Sure.
What about like a NES or Genesis or anything? What else were you playing?
Okay. So I've basically always been a Nintendo person.
Okay.
We had a NES, we had a Super Nintendo. I got a Nintendo 64 my freshman year, the Christmas of my freshman year of high school, I think it was. When it came out, went to college, took some time off there. I think that's when I got the first DS. I want to say it was the first DS or it was the Game Boy Advance. It was one of those two.
Sure.
But yes, and then I started expanding into PlayStation. I got a PS2, I got an Xbox, and I've just been kind of collecting everything ever since then.
But you weren't initially, like when the first PlayStation came out, you weren't right in on that? Or what about Genesis? You weren't into the Sega stuff either?
I had some friends that had the Genesis, but this was the day and age where my mom said, you get a choice. You get this or that.
And right. And it feels like there was a true divide between, it was almost like you had to pick, am I a Genesis family or am I a Nintendo guy? And then you had to clash on the recess at recess time to figure out who was better. I mean, I was definitely a Nintendo guy, but I remember like having arguments about why the SNES was better than the Genesis and whatnot. But
It always brings me back to Billy Madison in that scene where they're talking about Mortal Kombat on the Genesis.
Yes. Oh, man. I just watched that last night. That's hilarious. That was exactly what it was like, arguing about Mortal Kombat is the greatest game on Sega Genesis, the greatest game ever. Oh, that's so good. Well, so what games were you playing? Also, did you have brothers or sisters?
Okay, so yes, I had the reason I really was able to get into video games is because I had an older brother who... also was a gamer, and he kind of grew out of that, whereas I did not. But
I see.
That's where it initially came in. So I had an older brother, and then I had two younger siblings. So kind of kept things going, because my younger brother is also a gamer and still is to this day. I think the first games that I really remember on the Nintendo getting into were Legend of Zelda, the original. Mario Brothers 3,
right?
2.
Two.
I mean, we had the first one with Duck Hunt.
But
I never really got into the first one. The second one kind of got me hooked. And then that, of course, did carry over to 3.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I always had I still do have a soft spot in my heart for 2, even though it's whatever. It's not a Mario game, but it is.
It's a Mario game at this point, right? Yeah, for sure. So then you guys get a SNES. You're getting a little bit older. Are you playing Link to the Past? What are you playing?
Yes. I have this very vivid memory of bringing my SNES with me. So every summer, we would go back to Chicago to visit our family, because most of our family stayed there. It was basically just my mom and us that moved out to Montana. Mm-hmm. Everyone else was still in Chicago. But I have a very vivid memory of going back. We'd always go to my grandmother's house. And there was one day on my birthday, I got Link to the Past. And it's like the next day we had a block party. The whole block was shut down. It was like a little carnival block party. And I was like, no, I need to figure out how to get through this dungeon that I now know is called Thieves Town. I spent all day playing that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. The true commitment to Link to the Past. I love it.
Yeah. And then then Donkey Kong Country. Was the other big game that I remember playing not long after it came out. Oh, I have another story I can tell. Keep this quick. So I never really got into the first Metroid, but I obviously got into Super Metroid.
Okay.
I didn't have it, but one of my friends that was a neighbor did. So we probably spent all of like one fall trying to beat it. And at one point we got stuck and we didn't know what to do. And of course the internet isn't around yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like at all. But they had the Nintendo Power helpline.
Oh, right. The 900 number.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we called it and oh boy, we didn't call it with permission. So we got in some trouble.
I bet.
Yeah. We ended up having to pay it off, which is fine. We did it. We did doors for that. But sure. We call it because we were stuck. And it's the most embarrassing thing. Are you familiar with Super Metroid?
I'm a little. I played through about half of it, I would say. So
okay. Well, so the first like main boss, Kraid, right? You're going through Kraid's lair. Mm-hmm. And at one point there's a giant crack in the floor that you have to shoot or bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So neither of us could figure that out. Shoot the giant crack in the floor. Right. So we called the 900 number to get told, shoot the crack in the floor. We could get to the back end of Kraid's lair.
That's awesome. Oh man. Worth it. Man. Worth $6 or whatever it probably cost.
I don't remember, but it's the only help we needed. We got through the game.
That's great. I love it. So you stuck with the Nintendo then. Your Super Nintendo 64. I feel like 64 was such a integral part of so many of our lives, especially that teenage years. You know, that first 3D console. I just remember being completely blown away seeing Mario 64. And then, of course, Ocarina of Time. I'd never seen anything like it. How was it for you? Was it mind-blowing as it was for me?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Like the nostalgia that people have for Ocarina of Time is legitimate. I have the same. Like I loved that game so much. I remember like paying the extra for like the whatever gold collector's edition and then the strategy guide. Like I had to have it all day one. And I was not disappointed, even from just that opening cutscene of them showing Hyrule Field.
Right.
Like, wow. I was however old I was, 16, 15, whatever year old me, was blown away by that.
Yeah, it was so immersive compared to what we were coming from. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But even before that, there was like Mario 64, Pilot Wing 64, like all those launch title games, Blast Corps.
Yeah.
I still have all those games because,
they're classics.
I loved all of them.
You know what I played a lot of was Wave Racer 64.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I didn't have Wave Race, but one of my good buddies did. And he was so dang good at the game. I could never beat him at that game. I didn't get mad at him, but I got frustrated so many times.
Sure. I don't know how well it holds up, but man, I played the crap out of that when I was a kid. That was one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't played it in forever. Yeah. Like I know Mario Kart 64 holds up. I don't know about that game.
Were you playing, was Mario Kart and like GoldenEye, the multiplayer games, big in your household?
Yes. Mm-hmm. GoldenEye was big. Mario Kart was big. Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's caused a lot of fights between brothers. I know it did with me and mine.
No, the only fights that came were in the Super Nintendo days with my older brother, but that was over NBA Jam.
Right. Another classic. Yeah.
Yes. Because I was much to his dismay, but better at that game than he was, and he didn't like it. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. All right, so you're getting older. You're playing mostly Nintendo games. You start delving into some of the other stuff, PlayStation and Xbox, right?
Yeah. So I'm trying to think here. When I go away to college, my freshman year of college, like was a very eye opening experience for me because school got hard. And so I kind of had to back off gaming for a bit. But towards the tail end of that, I made a lot of friends through playing like Madden and college football. So I kind of got into that genre of games a bit. And then the next year or sometime around my sophomore year, Final Fantasy X came out.
Okay.
And so I was introduced to PlayStation 2 and the Final Fantasy franchise.
I see.
All at the same time.
Game changer
for you? That was my first foray into that. Absolutely.
Okay.
Holy cow. I still tell people to this day that Final Fantasy X might be my favorite game of all time.
Sure. I've actually never played. I've played four. I think that's the one I've played. I played a little bit of seven, but I haven't played a lot of Final Fantasy. Was that your introduction to like JRPGs and role playing and stuff?
Yep. Somehow I completely missed them growing up, because I would have loved playing like what we now know as Final Fantasy VI, but three on the SNES.
Right.
I would have loved playing Mario RPG. Like, I missed all of this stuff growing up, and definitely sad about it. But yeah, at that point, I went like all in on the JRPG series once I finished that game.
Like, what else did you start playing?
I think the next one that I played after that was, it wasn't seven. It was a while before I played seven. So I think I would start going in reverse order. I played nine, and then I played eight, and then I played Tactics.
Okay.
And that blew my mind.
Oh, did it?
For some reason, I've probably played two or three tactical RPG style games since then and haven't been huge fans, but Final Fantasy Tactics was a game that would keep me up at night when I didn't do that anymore. I loved it that much.
Yeah. Is it safe to say that the RPGs, JRPGs, is your, like, your favorite genre? Do you continue to expand
into more? I mean, probably. It's hard to say definitively that, but RPGs in general, yes. In some form or another. Absolutely. Just trying to think.
Did that lead into D&D, or had you already started playing D&D before that?
Oh, no. It was probably another 10 years after that I started playing D&D.
Okay.
Yeah. No, like that came out of meeting people that played D&D. I think I had to know people that were already doing it, exposed to it, before I was going to get into that.
Sure.
Yeah.
No Magic the Gathering?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So I remember back as far back as middle school, knowing people that played it.
Uh-huh.
But like, I couldn't wrap my head around it. Like, I didn't understand it.
Sure. Yeah.
And then not long after that, or not long after that, I was exposed to the Pokemon trading card game.
Okay.
And maybe I just had that little kid kind of mentality, because I was way more in on that.
Sure. It's important who introduces you, right? Like, I feel like if there's someone that teaches you Magic or teaches you Pokemon, teaches you Dungeons and Dragons or whatever, it's like that could be vital into, you know, like, really grabbing a hold and making it something that you really enjoy.
I think so, especially for like D&D. For Magic, yeah, it's probably the same, especially with, I don't follow the game super close, but I have a general idea of kind of where it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, trying to get into that now could be super confusing. I could easily see that. So
sure, it is. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
And then the fact that it's a terrible money sink.
that's the other thing. Holy crap. I spent so much money in Magic the Gathering. It's insane. So we're relatively close to the same age. What introduced you to the idea of speedrunning or watching streams?
God, this is going to be kind of a weird roundabout way to get there, but I was introduced to Twitch through looking for ASMR content.
Okay.
Sometime around 2017, tail end 2017, 2018, there was a lot of stuff going on in my life, and it was causing a lot of mental anguish, whatever. And I was having a lot of trouble sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of the things that was recommended to me. Try this. This might help you fall asleep, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it did.
Awesome.
And so I looked for more and more of this. And then eventually I found Twitch, and which is really weird because I knew what Justin TV was kind of back in the day.
Sure.
But I had no idea that it turned into Twitch.
Uh-huh.
And so this is how I find Twitch. And
that's such a unique story. I love it. Everyone else is like, you know, I saw GDQ or YouTube got me to Twitch or something. You went the ASMR route. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, I got to Twitch through ASMR, and then that started putting like video game recommendations into my YouTube algorithm or whatever. So I ended up seeing the SMZ3 run that Oats and Goats and Andy did at a GDQ.
Right.
What was it? I think it was in 2020. I think that's what it was. I don't remember what year it was.
Maybe 2019. It was close. I don't know if the had them in 20, maybe it was January of 2020.
Yeah. That might be it.
Yeah.
And that's what introduced me to the idea of that. That was my first introduction to randomizers. So I got both games at once.
That's awesome. So you see it, do you start, you like, how can I play this? Or is it just something that you think is neat?
Well, I saw it and I was like, huh, okay. So I started watching Oats and Goats.
Mm-hmm.
Speedrun, he was speedrunning Super Metroid 100% at the time. Like, oh, this is wild. I wonder how hard this is. So I started trying to play through 100% myself. I probably watched him for like a good 2 months or something like that. And that's how I learned the route without really not knowing any of the tech. So you can imagine how well this went. I started doing it. My first run was over 2 hours and I'm like, okay, this ain't easy.
Yeah. It's so funny. Just watching like GDQs or watching certain games that you might be have like a passing familiar with, like, oh, that doesn't seem that hard. And then you boot the game up and it's like, holy shit, that was way harder than I expected. I mean, Link to the Past kind of has that as well, where you watch someone play Link to the Past. It's like, I could do that, right? Like, I could play like that. And then it's like, crap, that's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, especially with Super Metroid, because I think after that he started playing Super Metroid Impossible and I'm like, you kidding me?
Yeah.
What? How does he do?
Super Metroid is hard. The controls on that game, I don't want to say jank, but they're tight. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're very specific to Super Metroid and it's tough.
The learning curve for some of that tech is just ridiculously high too. Like, it's crazy. Like, I definitely learned some of what I would consider, I guess, basic things like, well, wall jumping, we would say, is basic, but like doing moonfalls, I figured that out eventually. But like some of the weird like room strats they have, like there's one called Escape from Alcatraz, like I could never figure that out.
So what makes you then try the randomizer? Do you start with SMZ3?
No, I started doing like it basically once I kind of felt like, okay, this is as far as I can get with Super Metroid without like really putting a ton of time into it. I ended up switching over to where most people start when they start learning about Link to the Past randomizer. I started watching Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably just hung out in his chat and lurking when I had free time for, I want to say, probably 6 months. But I was like, you know what? This randomizer thing sounds a lot more fun than speed running. I'm going to give this a go instead.
Yeah, for sure. So this is during COVID then?
Well, this is after 2019. So this is in 2020.
Okay. That makes sense.
It's right around the time that Icebreaker and Diver Down were discovered and legalized.
Yeah, I think that's 2019. I'm pretty sure that's
okay.
That's
late 2019. So maybe it's that. I could be getting my years wrong, but it's right around that time. So yeah, if that's the case, then we're talking 2019.
Okay.
Huh. Okay.
I think so. I mean, it's all kind of a blur, right?
Yeah. The sad thing is that's 4 years ago now and it's already a blur. Right.
It totally is. So how does your first attempt at running the randomizer go?
If I remember right, the first time I played, I was like, well, I need to figure out like what I want to do to start. And so I figured out like a pretty standard starting route. And then I was like, you know what? This seems like it would be fun. I probably got halfway through a seed, I want to say. I was like, this seems like it'd be fun, but he keeps doing this, what is it called? Key sanity thing? I'd rather do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that instead.
That's awesome.
So I essentially just jumped right into doing open keys. And I don't remember how my first runs went, but I know that when I started playing Lime Ladder, I think it was whatever season early on. I want to say it was 4, but I could be wrong, where they had open keys and AD keys.
Okay.
And that was more or less like after finishing one or two runs, I'm like, I'm just going to jump into ladder because racing sounds fun.
Yeah, totally.
And yeah, it was a nightmare. I want to say my first 5 races, like I did not track at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a vivid memory of doing an 80 keys and I'm like 2+ hours. It's got to be like almost 3 hours into the seed and I'm the last one racing. So I know that I've lost and I'm missing Samaria and I don't know like, eventually I'm like, I can't think of anything else and I forfeit. And I'm like, my opponent, I'm like, where was Samara? And she's like, oh, it was in Sea House. I'm like, oh,
jeez.
I just didn't go into Sea House.
Yep. Right. Yep. It's happened to us all for sure. We forget. Even if you are tracking where you forget to go to an item.
Yeah. Well, at that point, I'm like, okay, let's start using a tracker now.
Yeah. That'll convince you for sure. So looking at your ladder record, season 3 was actually your first.
Okay. It was season 3. Okay.
Basically, you used the ladder to learn, right? Because you went 9-35-1. That's persistence. Yep. If anything, that's just saying like, I don't care about whether I'm winning or losing. I'm going to learn how to play this game.
That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was.
So you were deterred by the one-on-one, like, losing? I feel like that would have deterred me a little bit.
No, because I went into it telling myself, like, okay, I know I'm not going to win because I haven't done this before, but I want to learn this game. And quite frankly, just having the knowledge that I'm playing against someone was the motivation enough for me to want to keep going. Like, that's what got me interested in it, because I felt like just playing to play wasn't enough for me.
Yep. Yeah, so, you needed something extra for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting because I came in a couple years before where group races, ladder didn't exist. And so there was group races where like the groups were like, you know, 60 to 80 people. And you'd kind of set the bar of like, I hope to finish middle of the pack, right? Like that was kind of like as I started, I'm hoping that I finish 30th or something. You know what I mean? Like, but like, I feel like and again, this is just me personally, going one-on-one to start with would have felt like a little bit more like, I'm not gaining anything. It's cool that you're able to take that or have a perspective of like, I'm here to learn.
Yeah. And the other thing for me, like it being one-on-one, like my mindset was, okay, if I lose, when I lose, I can, you know, I can talk to my opponent and get some tips, get some help. Like that's kind of what it was for me. Cause I felt like that one of my environment was more comfortable for me to be able to ask questions like that.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, it paid off cause the next season you go 29-27-1. Like that's a huge improvement from season 3. That's like a huge improvement. So you put in the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I put in the time. I started learning things like, I did learn how to do like what were the newer tricks at the time, like Icebreaker and Diver Down, but there were a lot of things that I didn't know. Like I understood splash deleting, like from Lake Hylia to Fake Flipper, but like that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so many like little things that we probably don't think about because they're just like, oh yeah, you can do that. Like like getting the splash delete from Hobo or going into Waterfall Fairy Cave with the Merle and coming out with Water Walk, like things like that I just didn't know. So
yeah,
it was a lot of looking at VODs and asking for help.
That's awesome. Did you find people in the community that you clicked with right away or did that take a while?
It definitely took a bit. The first person that I really remember kind of like having a lot of conversation with and getting to know better was Rosalindus.
Oh yeah,
who's still my friend to this day. So
awesome.
That's probably the first that I remember. But then, yeah, after that, like just I'm a social person. So chatting, being nice, you know, getting to know people. That's how I've kind of built this whole thing. My skills with this game and how I've done my streaming, how my stream is built up too. So
I almost feel like you created your own community in a way, like through your streaming. So how did that go about? Because you know, you hadn't been streaming before the pandemic and you start streaming for the latter. It wasn't like you were trying to become a streamer or anything, but you do have a natural charisma and a magnetism that draws people to you. Did you find that you were enjoying streaming more and more?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like the first times that I did it, probably, okay, this was tail end 2020. So the first times that I did it, like it was an odd feeling. It's really weird. Because I am a teacher by profession. That's my job. Okay. I'm a high school teacher.
Okay.
I've been doing that for 10 years now, something like that. And, you know, talk to a school room or classroom full of 30 kids, no problem. But the streaming was still kind of weird for me because it's like you're talking into ether. You don't even know if anyone's there.
Right.
Totally. Yeah.
But then when you start getting feedback back, like, yeah, that's when it started coming fun for me. Once I started getting responses back, like whether it was just, you know, started off with just talking to people in like post race ladder chats and turned into talking in Discord, which turned into hanging out in people's streams. And I just kind of went from there.
How does that then evolve to you singing on camera?
Oh, we didn't mention that. That's right. Oh my gosh. Okay. Another thing that I like to do in college.
There's an MSU pack, right?
Yeah, there's two of them, in fact.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. No. So that's another thing. So I have several hobbies. I like playing tennis. I like to sing karaoke. That's one of them. Even though I have not done that for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know how that came about. But one night I was like, you know what? Sure, let's do this. And then I was, next thing you know, it's 3 hours later and I've been doing karaoke for 3 hours. Hasn't been great, but that's karaoke, awesome. Right?
That's what I love about karaoke. Because for my last birthday, I went out to dinner with a whole bunch of friends and their spouses and stuff. And then went back to my friend's house, who has a pretty big space. And he had a whole like mic and stereo set up that wasn't a karaoke, but it was like an actual, like what people use in a band. And we used my Apple Music, it has like a karaoke thing on my Apple Music, and we just did karaoke all night, and I freaking loved it. I just love karaoke. I'm the same way. It's like, I'm not a good singer, but I love singing these songs. So why not just like let it go and just have a good time with it? Right.
Exactly. Yep. 100%. That's always my mentality with it. So yeah. What do you mean? I did that once and then it turned into another one like a month later. Next thing you know, I'm doing this like once a month for probably, I want to say, a solid 6 months or something like that.
That's awesome.
Next thing you know, J-Jo approaches me and he's like, hey, I've got enough music here to make an extended MSU out of it.
That's like, awesome. What?
Okay.
That's too good.
Oh, I didn't expect it, but then it happened. Here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's some of the greatest stuff happens that way, where you don't expect it and it just evolves. I mean, okay. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I'm curious about how serious you are in competitive racing, because I feel like you're pretty well known as a memer. I mean, your Discord image is a clown. A clown, right? Like, that's also on the league thing. And I know you've got stuff about, like, Beer told me to ask you about like the mirror shield.
Okay.
Our hair basement and stuff. And I know, like, I know you're not afraid of memeing. You're not afraid of having a good time, I think, is more of the approach than necessarily memeing. So I'm curious about how you approach the game. Is it more from I'm just going to have a good time, I don't necessarily care about competition? Or I don't know. Is it a mix of both?
I want to say it's a mix of both. So, okay. So we'll get the meme stuff out of the way first. I don't know how it just kind of evolved into a meme thing, but I can tell you a couple stories.
Okay.
The hair basement thing. I don't like checking hair basement. I will go out of my way to not do it. It's like one of those things, even when I'm racing seriously, I will try to avoid that check if I can.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean I always skip it, but more often than not, you'll see me do that. There's a reason that I kind of like developed I don't like this check thing. If you remember, I don't remember what year it was. It's either 2020 or 2021. There was a mystery race on ladder on April Fool's.
Okay.
And it was a true ice route hunt for everybody. Mm. I don't know if you remember this.
I remember.
So I signed up for it. And I honestly don't even remember who I raced against. But if I recall correctly, the ice rod was in Hare Basement.
Mm.
And I've just not been a fan of the checks.
Sure. I hate it, man. I'm with you. Like, I think I've gotten over the hate of it with as much cross keys as I play now. But there was a time where I was like, I don't care what it is, I'm not checking Hare Basement. Oh, very similar to you. And I'm not joking. It was four seeds in a row that had Hera basement progression. And I just like, I lost my mind. Like, I just couldn't believe that it happened. Like what are the odds for four times in a row to have Hera basement progression? It was just like, it wrecked me. But so yeah, I'm with you right there.
Yeah, no, I just, and I've definitely been burned by it in competitive races that I can remember. But when I do stuff like if I'm playing multi-world or like co-op or something and for League or whatever, and I have to check that, like I will do it. It's not like that. I'm
right.
I will probably right. complain about it openly yeah. to whoever I'm playing with.
Sure.
But I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What about the mirror shield?
Okay. I don't even know where this came from. I don't remember how this developed, but it just did. It became a thing. And I don't. I think it initially came out of the thought where we used to think, oh, it causes lag, right? Which we then decided was all shields cause lag, which now we've decided no shields cause lag because of fast ROM. I can't right. even keep up with it anymore. Right. But
for sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's big. It's ugly. It covers your sprite. Like, who wants this thing? What totally. Do you? What?
It's useless. It's basically useless. Yeah.
It's essentially useless. What does it do? It blocks laser beams on laser bridge that you can walk or run past. Like, right. come on.
Yeah,
totally. I've been on record of saying if the thing just blocked BMO's beams, I'd be fine with it.
Sure.
It'd be great. It would be yeah. functional.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
It's just a big useless hunk of metal. Like, I don't totally. Want this.
Totally. So I take it your chat, probably full of a bit of memers as well, enjoy yes. torturing you, I guess, with the mirror shield and with Hera Basement then.
Oh yes, no. Then I've had people go on record telling me this is why they come here, just to torture you about that.
That's awesome. So how do you balance between like memeing and then being competitive?
Okay, so I the gray area is ladder, so I'll talk about that last. If we're playing like a tournament or like whether it's League, if it's co-op, if I'm doing when I was doing Challenge Cup, if it's main tournament, whatever. More often than not, I found this has gotten more so and more so as I've gotten better at the game. I'll start playing it more like a race and less like I'm here trying to interact with everybody, which was hard for me at first.
Sure.
Which was really hard for me at first. I think it took me 3 years to qualify for main tournament because for a while it was more about me engaging than it was about me racing.
Right.
And at some point, I think, I don't know when, but at some point I started turning the corner on that. So typically if I'm racing in a tournament of some sort, I'm going to be in a race mode. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be kind of less watching and more focused on either what I'm doing, what I'm going to be doing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
The other side of that is I find plenty of times for to allow people to meme. I'll play seeds that people give me to play. I have them do like a redemption on my channel for it. And that's where all the memes come in and I get to be goofy and talk yeah. with everybody. And that's the fun playing. And ladder, when I do ladder, it's kind of a mix of that.
Where you don't take it as serious, but there is a little bit of more I am yes. competing. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like I don't want to make it sound like I'm being disrespectful to ladder because I'm not. I take those races, you know, seriously, because they're a race and I want to win them. But I will sure. joke around. I will, you know, be a little bit more chatty with people. Sometimes I've had a bit too much to drink and done some ladder races and
sure.
it's sure. worked out sometimes and it hasn't worked out sometimes. So
that's kind of how it works with drinking, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes mm-hmm. it works out for the better. Sometimes not. Your league, the league teams, it looks like you have been on two league teams. You started season 4 and season 5 with Taunt the Frog. How did that happen?
Okay. I don't know if you know Aridin or Trip.
I don't.
Or have heard of them. Okay. They were, I think Trip was more of a player right around pre-ladder and like first couple seasons mm-hmm. of ladder. And Aridin was kind of from there up into a little bit, I want to say season 6, 7, 8, something like that. And he came back for a bit, but they had been playing for a while. Aridin is another man that I met through ladder. And when that season came up, he just approached me and said, hey, would you like to play with us? We need someone. He didn't say this, but it was kind of implied. We need someone to play cross keys. This was like not long after I had started playing cross keys.
Okay. So
I was like, hey, yeah, that sounds great. Cause I had wanted to be playing League since I first saw it. I think I saw it tail end. I want to say I saw the season, the 2019 season. And this was not long after I started playing. So I was like, or watching. So I was like, or maybe it was 2020. Again, I'm probably getting my years mixed up. But I saw that season. I was like, this looks really cool. I love this idea. Being on a team, this is great. And I'm a big sports person as well. So the idea of a league with a season, I was all about this. And just was too new, didn't really feel comfortable asking anyone. I didn't know many people at the time. But by the time next year came around, they actually reached out to me and I'm like, yes, this is great. I love this. Let's do it.
How'd it go? How's your experience with the league? Not necessarily about winning or losing, but just playing in the league. Is it something that you enjoy? Is it a part of
random that you dig? No. League, it's probably weird, but league is probably the racing I take most serious.
Sure. Yeah, because it's you have people that you have teammates, right? I feel like that adds pressure's not the right word, but like you care more because it doesn't just affect you. Mm-hmm. It affects someone else.
Yeah, it's like part of an accountability thing, probably something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of fun. Like the first time we played co-op, I was like, oh, I love this. I love this. I want to keep doing more of this. I think prior to that, my only other experience playing with other people was playing big multi-worlds.
Yeah, and that's totally different, right? Like. Yeah. Multi-world is its own separate thing where you're usually there just to meme. I feel like a lot of times when you're playing multi-worlds, even in the competitive one, it feels a little bit more meme-y than like maybe the competitive nature of League. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So this is definitely tail end of 2020 because I remember it was around that time towards the end of that year that I met Scottish Brave, Zen Arcane, Structural Mike. And these were the people that I started kind of learning, like actually learning with. And we had like this multi-world group that we were doing every weekend for quite a while around that time.
That's awesome.
And then that turned into playing League. Yeah.
Were you at Brave's wedding?
I think you were.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I absolutely was.
I saw pictures on her Discord and I was like, there was a whole bunch of people that I recognized. Like, that's super awesome. You went all the way out there for the wedding to support them. That's happens through Links of the Past. That's super, super awesome.
Yeah. Like I've been out of the country a few times prior to last year. I can talk about that if you want, but I never in a million years thought that I would go to Scotland for someone's wedding. And right. I got to go there and meet two amazing people, three amazing people. Cause there was another gentleman that came out, Vix Rider came out, who I had never met before, but I'd known for several years.
Sure.
And to do that because of this game was fantastic. Like I never would have expected it. It was a blast. I had so much fun. Scotland is crazy to drive in, but other than that, 10 out of 10 experience.
No, that's great. I love it. You went full on, right? Like you wore the kilt and everything, right? Yep.
Yeah, that was more out of I could pack a suit or I could do this.
That's awesome.
But also she said, yeah, you know, this is like a thing you could do. It's available and Zen is doing it. So it's like, oh, well, if Zen's doing it, we'll just go to wherever he's going. This is perfect. This is great. No,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
man. I love that. I love that the silly game from 35 years ago, or however old it is, brings people together and makes like actual true friendship. That I love that. I like when I created the league, that was the goal, is like people to be actual friends, you know, play games with your friends and make friends from playing this silly game. So when I hear stories of people traveling all the way to Scotland to visit their friends that they met through Link to the Past randomizer, that just warms my cold dead heart.
Yeah, a little bit of fire left. That's good.
So you said you're a sports fan. Who I take it, since you didn't grow up in Seattle, you're not a Seattle sports fan. Chicago, like Montana is in that weird zone of like, unless you're rooting for college teams, there's, you don't have any pro teams there, so you gotta have to pick and choose who you root for. Do you go west, do you go east?
Yeah, Montana usually splits between Minnesota, Seattle, and Denver. So
yeah. So where'd you land?
Me, I'm a Chicago person. I was there long enough and got old enough to get into Chicago sports.
I see.
Doesn't hurt that Jordan was playing for the Bulls right around those years of my life. So.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
But no, I'm a huge baseball fan. I've probably been a Cubs fan longer than I've been playing video games, which is really hard to believe. Football, I'm a big football fan. So Duncan and I share that love for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I got into... Okay, you know what? That's fair. It's not a great time right now.
It's been a rough few years, right? Like, I mean, it's been a while since the Super Bowl happened, and even that was a little rough. I think Rex Grossman was the quarterback in that.
Yes. Yeah. Somehow we called him Sexy Rexy. Somehow Grossman got us to a Super Bowl,
which is insane. It was the defense, really. Yeah. And
it was the defense and Devin Hester. What it was.
Yeah. But it's been a rough go. You guys are going to have Caleb Williams, though, you know.
For three years, and then we'll trade him to someone, probably.
Right.
Probably the Steelers, the way this has been going. Like,
right. Are you a fan that was like, oh, sorry, everyone that's not into sports, we're going to talk a little sports here. Were you a Justin Fields fan? Were you one of those people that were like, let's keep Fields? Or
oh yes, absolutely. I can go on a whole tangent about this, but the short version is I think they should have kept him, try to trade their first pick down like maybe two spots, draft that guy from Ohio State, Harrison Jr., and make a run at it.
Yeah,
that's what I think they should have done, and I think they would have had a legitimate chance.
Yeah, it's I feel like Fields, just the coaching has just been so bad, right? Like,
yeah,
It's hard to put it all on him.
Yeah, I don't think you can. And he, even though he's probably not, I mean, he clearly hasn't gotten to the point that they wanted him to get to. I think he's shown the flashes and improvement throughout the year. I mean, the tail end of this past season was looking pretty good for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now he's going to be backing up Russ. Crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about the Cubbies? How's the season looking for you as they... We're about to kick off the new major league season.
Well, they re-signed Bellinger really late into spring training. Mm. But they got him again, so that's good.
Yeah.
He had a great year last year. They've got a new manager because, well, I don't know how closely if you followed baseball last year, but they were in line for the top wild card spot and just kind of threw it all away in the tail end of last season. Like haven't seen a team choke that much that quickly in a long time.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds very similar to the Mariners. It's weird with baseball or football. I watch both NFC, AFC. It doesn't really matter. I watch it all. But for some reason, I don't even know why, because there is interleague play, but I'm way more focused. Maybe it's the amount of games on the AFC and the AFC, or gosh, the AFC, the AL West. In the American League a little bit more. So some of the National League stuff kind of passes me by.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, there's a lot of games. Baseball season's really long.
Yeah.
It's really easy to be excited about it, forget about it for 3 months, then all of a sudden, hey, season's almost over. It's exciting again. So
right. Yeah, totally. No, I love it. Have you been to T-Mobile Park? Where the Mariners play?
Oh, okay. I was about to ask, is that what Safeco is called now?
Yeah, it is. It is. I was so mad when it got changed to T-Mobile Park because it just feels like it's Safeco. But then I've gotten used to calling it T-Mobile Park. So.
Me not living there, I still call will still call it Safeco probably.
Sure.
But yeah, I've been there a few times. I remember I went there, I think, for a couple games the year that it actually opened.
Oh, okay.
And then I went and saw the Cubs there.
Mm.
I think it was 2021. I want to say it was 3 years ago. Yeah. Okay. And I know that they're playing a series. The Cubs are playing a series there, I think, early in the season. I want to say it's like in the middle of April. I might go back.
Let me know. I wouldn't mind saying hi and checking. I could always do a game at Safeco T-Mobile. Like, I love being at baseball games. It's one of my all-time favorite things, just period. I love baseball games.
Yeah. That feels that for it's hard to think of Safeco as being old.
But I know.
For as old as that park is, it's still a really nice park to watch a game in.
2001 is when it opened. Pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel overall about your spot with Randomizer, your spot in the community? I guess where you're at with streaming, do you feel comfortable with where you're at?
Yeah, it's such a tough situation. So to talk about, especially now, because this is still a hobby for me. And it has to take a backseat to my job and sometimes to mental health because I work a very stressful job and a very busy job.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of stuff going on at my job and now I'm coaching tennis. This is kind of the part time of the year where I have to slow down on streaming. Like I like to stream. I enjoy it. I love it. I would do it probably five, six, days a week if I could, if it was sustainable. Mm-hmm. And so like in the summer, I'll usually do something like that. But times like now, it's like, I want to do this. And it's like, well, I can't. Okay. So yes. Am I happy where things are right now? Yeah. I love this. I wouldn't stop doing this for anything. It's one of my favorite hobbies that I've ever had.
Yeah, for sure.
As far as racing, like where I'm at in that right now, I did just lose to Jay Meescher in the losers finals of Avian Art. So
wow.
Like that was a good boon for me. Like that definitely made me feel awesome. Like, hey, okay, maybe this may be a meme tournament. It's totally not. But
yeah.
It went well.
That's super awesome. That's a tough, those modes are tough. Like they take a lot.
They do.
And it takes a special type of person to get good at those modes as well. You have to have patience and you have to enjoy enjoy the game, really.
You really do. Pots and Bones is a wild mode.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're going to get 400 and what is it? 69 Triforce pieces for the truest Pots and Bones, it's a marathon. It truly is.
Yeah. And then for season 6, you guys actually, you got a new team, right? For the league?
Oh yeah, no, I didn't even talk about that. Yeah.
It was the Cowardly Dodgers, you, Late Bit, and Josh Bittner.
Yeah, that was an interesting situation for me because that was like a last minute thing. The team that I'd been playing with, we found out that we weren't going to be able to, one of them wasn't going to be able to play this season. So Aaron and I were trying to find a third and we couldn't because everyone else had already kind of signed up for teams. So at the last minute, Aaron's like, you know what, go find some team to be with if you can. And sure. Josh reached out to me and he was like, you know, Sean Rhapsody was going to be on our team, but he's got, you know, personal life going on right now. He needs to step back. You want to come in and play cross keys or whatever? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Let's do it.
How'd that go? Like going from a new team? Is Late Bit and Josh people that you would consider friends, or was it just kind of a more of a random thing?
So Josh was someone that I know I'd had conversations with in the past. So wasn't a total stranger to me. Yeah, we're not exactly in the same, I guess, rando circle, but we talk every now and then. So we're not strangers to each other. Late Bit to me was that guy that won the Challenge Cup the first year I was in it. So I was like, oh man, I don't want to embarrass Late Bit. This guy's really good. And then I got to talk to him like, oh no, this guy's a memer just like me.
That's awesome. That's
great. It was a lot of fun. They're both cool dudes. I enjoyed playing with them a lot. We did a lot of learning of things that we hadn't really had a lot of familiarity with throughout that season. It was great. Late Bit got to learn how to pilot. And play cross keys.
That's awesome.
He was very flexible. It was great.
That's so good. You guys did well too, making the playoffs. Like,
oh yeah,
that's awesome.
We definitely eked in. It was a crowded conference.
Sure.
We had a lot of like tiebreaker scenarios, even going to like the last game, the last few days of the last week, just trying to figure out how this would go. I think we needed help to get in and we got very lucky that we got the help in like the last game to eke in.
No, that's awesome. I mean, I love how competitive the Open is now. Like it's not free at all. Like
you gotta
be good to get to the playoffs in Open, and it's great.
Yeah.
I just think it's good.
I remember half paying attention to the other divisions in our conference. And then when we get to playoffs, I look at the teams and I'm like, this is Open? What the?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty nuts, but
I mean, even in our division, we had overachievers and that was wild too.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. The underachievers.
Underachievers. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. 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 That's great stuff. Dude, I feel like I could talk to you for like ever. Like, I feel like this podcast could go on just for forever. But I don't want to take up too much of your time. So I'm going to ask you the question that I ask everyone, and that is about tilt. How do you handle tilt? Do you get tilted, whether it's in the middle of a seed or at the end of a race? Like, you expected to win and you didn't. What tilts you? And then how do you approach that tilt?
Okay, the only thing that I think truly tilts me in this game is dying when I shouldn't or failing to do something that I know I can do. Like if the problem is that I've played enough nonsense at this point that I will go into like a five heart fighter sword no bow, no hammer, Vitti, and be like, okay, I should be fine. I should be able to do this.
Yeah.
So if I die, most people will be like, well, you just did a five-part fighter sword only Vitti.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to die. And I'm like, no, I should have killed it. I should have been fine. So, it used to be when stuff like that happened, I was, my reaction was, okay, I'm going right back in. We're just going to do this again because I'm not okay with this. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten better about that. I have learned from another good friend of mine by the name of Mr. Ed that when things don't go well, just bitch. So that's what I do. I bitch, I whine, and I just go on with the scene usually.
It helps though, right? Like it lets you, allows you to like just let it out. I think that's super important.
Yeah. Like it's 100% legitimate. Just vent your feelings and try to refocus on what you're doing. That's what I do. And more often than not, it turns into, okay, I have to come back and do this later. So I'll come back and do this later.
Sure. I think that's a super healthy way to approach Tilt. I think it allows you to keep playing the game and hopefully not wreck, your execution as you continue.
Yeah. It's very important to me to always be having fun while playing this game, even if it gets stressful and frustrating.
Sure.
Like I do this to have fun. I don't ever want to stop having fun while I do this.
Sure. So
that's always at the front of my mind.
That's awesome, man. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I'm glad you said yes. And I know haven't had a lot of interactions in the past, but getting to know you, dude, it's been super awesome.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Likewise about just sitting here and chatting. I love doing this. So yeah, anytime. I appreciate you having me on.
Homewrecker, such a good dude. Really glad that he did the show. And thanks again, Homewrecker, for coming on and just sharing your story. And go Mariners, right? We were going to try to hook up for the M's versus Cubs here at T-Mobile Park, but schedules didn't quite align and we weren't able to do it. And it's good because the Cubbies took it to the Mariners and won both Saturday and Sunday. So he wasn't able to rub it in my face personally, but hopefully we get a chance to go check out a game. I think that'd be fun. Just a good dude, man. Really enjoy talking with him, and I feel like he'd be an awesome dude to catch a baseball game with too. So yeah, thanks again, Homewrecker, for being on the show. Next episode is a big one. Someone I didn't know would do the show, and that is Ramond. Been teammates with Ramond for the league for a couple seasons. We partnered up for the co-op tournament here just recently. Just a big fan of the dude. And we talk about it in the interview about, I was a little intimidated by him because he's so good and he's kind of quiet and to himself. But man, he's got an awesome story. And I loved the fact that he did the show. So come back on Thursday. We're going to have the Ramond episode. And it's a good one. It's a really good one. Just really enjoyed talking to Ramond. And it's cool because he is someone that's really well known in the community, but he keeps to himself. Like he's not a part of a lot of different groups. He just kind of does his Age of Crosskeys thing. And so giving everyone a chance to kind of hear his story and kind of pull the curtain back a little bit on him, I think is really good. And I'm excited for everyone to hear that. So come back on Thursday for the Ramond episode. And then we got a draft and then we got the season finale with the guest I'm about to go record with right after this. So wrapping up season number 5, it's been a blast. Thank you so much for hanging out. 216pod.com has the links that you would need to join our Discord or to listen to the show. We had the NFL draft this last weekend, and it was a blast chatting about that with everyone in the Discord. There's the hockey playoffs, which I haven't been following, but there's a lot of discussion going on and in the Discord on that. No real Brando talk, which is kind of funny, but perfect for 216. Mostly sports. That's what we all enjoy. But yeah, join the Discord. Lots of cool people there hanging out. And back Thursday with Ramond. Again, thank you everyone for listening to the show. I really, really appreciate it. And we'll see you then.